News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Got a whole audience full of people out there called Right Side Ruffians. So if you want to call in Right Side Ruffians, you are welcome to it right now. 866-494-9866. Copper will watch the phones. You want to call in and talk about anything we've talked about so far, peace through strength, the breaking news we had about Boeing doing away with their vaccine mandate, or the discussion we just had with Mac Butler about what kind of people are running for office or need to run for office. Love to hear your thoughts. 866-494-9866. So, yeah, listen, let's take that second round of the triple dipper here. What kind of candidate do you want? Let me ask you this. Are you one of those who is like opposed to incumbents as a general rule? Well, I'd have to ask you why. Do you know why? And I would just suggest to you that literally it's not enough to say, vote the bums out. You've got to have something behind it, and you got to have something to vote for. So the question then becomes, what do you want? And when I say that, I'm not talking about it just rhetorically, and I'm also not talking about it just in terms of, you know, go find something else. You've got to listen to the options available to you, and you've got to also find the candidate that can stand up under it. By the way, Copper, grab the microphone for a second.
Yes, indeed.
I am seeing your note, Copper. We have Copper's Corner today.
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. 4 o'clock. What do you say?
Already
good with that?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So we scheduled Copper's Corner earlier in the week, and Copper wound up getting stuck having to move furniture, and it really messed her ability to get here and do that. And so it's been like out of my head. And so I was just talking right away. This is the time frame we had talked about doing it. We love you, Copper. Oh yes, we do. We love. Okay. So we're going to make sure we get that done at 4 o'clock. All right. But yeah, what kind of candidate do you want? All right, so I got a couple of callers coming in, and then I'm gonna start hitting you with some criteria and talk it through a little bit more. Let me get line two, Paul from Athens. I know Copper's answering the phone on another one. Copper, if you can get me line two when you're ready there, Paul from Athens. Hey, Paul, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. How you doing today, man?
Yes, good evening, Phil. I want to thank you and your previous guest there for addressing this myth of religion there as it relates to Constitution there, separation of church and state there. I cringe every time I hear that, and I'm glad that was addressed there, because people don't seem to understand there that the First Amendment is a one-way prohibition. It's a one-way prohibition there that establishes that the government, First Amendment, Congress, shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free practice thereof. It doesn't prohibit religion from being a part of the politics there, since this nation was born out of Christianity.
Totally agree.
I'm glad that gets addressed. That's a point that often gets overlooked there, and people buy into this separation of church and state myth.
I totally agree, Paul, and thank you for that. And yeah, I mean, so you're right. When I ran for office, I ran, and I made no bones about it. I'm fine with saying Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of my life. I do have a faith, but you cannot separate me from my faith. So how do you separate my politics from my faith? So when I go to Montgomery, if I ever serve again anywhere else, literally what I'm saying is you're getting Phil Williams, who also happens to have a faith position in his life, and that's just the way it is. And you are so correct, Paul. Thanks for the call, man. I'm going to jump on another one here. Line three, I got Bob from Athens. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hi. I got a question for you. For every egotist that runs for office, there's 99 other people who are decent who won't. So how do you motivate the good people that you want to run for office?
Well, what a great question. So let me tell you my story there, Bob. So I had been thinking about it, and I actually had somebody from the local state part or local Republican Party just come and flat out ask me. They came and said, hey, Phil, we'd like to know, would you consider running for the state Senate against the incumbent, a guy named Larry Means, who was a Democrat who had been in office for about 12 years? And so I think the first thing, Bob, is they need to be recruited. There's going to be times when someone wants to in and of themselves, but for the most part, a lot of good folks are just doing what they do, and they don't consider themselves worthy, or they don't consider themselves able, and then the next thing, Bob, is people like you, if you find a candidate, whether it be you or someone else, need to gather up some other folks and commit the resources to help them get it done. That's another big piece of it. Make them viable. Go ahead.
One more question. When you say resources, how much are we talking about?
Well, it depends on what office you're looking at. I mean, you can run for the mayor of a small town for, you know, very little. One of the most conservative members of the state Senate, and the teachers union hated me. And so they put a ton of money against me. In my second election, it cost, I think I raised and spent $770,000 just myself, and my opponent had $500,000 himself. So it was like a $1.2, $1.3 million race just for my 4-county state Senate seat. Running for governor, you're looking at $3-4 million.
How do you honestly recoup that money?
You don't recoup it. These are considered not charitable, but political contributions. So this is not something someone's going to give to you and expect to get it back. And now it's possible for a loan to be made to the campaign, but the only way you can get repaid of a loan is to win and then have the ability to raise money to pay off campaign debt. Otherwise, you just lose and you carry the debt with you as a personal debt. But
ouch.
Yeah, it can be painful, Bob. I'll be honest with you. It really can. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And I'm going to talk about that kind of thing a little bit more. Great call, Bob. If you want to call in, we got a few minutes here. 866-494-9866. So Bob and Paul just raised some good points, right? They just called in saying, so, you know, first of all, you can't separate the person from their faith, which means get to know the person, know who they are. And number two, Bob asked the specific questions. How do you motivate good people to run? At the same time, what kind of resources do you need to do it? Well, let me just give you some things. Number one, I think you need to find a candidate who's viable. You need to find a candidate who's discernible. Find a candidate who's likable. And then find a candidate, this one doesn't have a ball on the end, find a candidate who is principled. All right, let me break those down. A viable candidate, what does that mean? Well, you know, you can find someone who's well-meaning and they have zero chance, not a snowball's chance of getting elected. Let's take a look right now. Let's say somebody in your Sunday school class or somebody at your job site says, you know what, I think I'll run for governor. That's cool. How are you going to do it? Because right now, Kay Ivey has several million dollars in her war chest, and she is, your folks may have good ideas, but they've got to have the ability to make it a viable run. Meaning, they've got to have the ability. When you get into this thing, don't get into it half-cocked. Get into it with the understanding that there will be costs and you've made a plan. You might want to look for a good consultant, someone who can help you through the processes. But find you a candidate. If you're looking for someone, first of all, find someone who is viable. But then next, I would also say, find someone who's discernible. And when I say that, what I mean is they have good discernment in the manner in which they present themselves. And you can also discern what it is they're trying to say. It's amazing to me how many people want to run for office and they can't even give their comments in a way that the people can grab hold of it. It's not enough to have good ideas. You've got to be able to present them. And I don't mean you have to be able to, you know, speak like somebody who graduated from a Zig Ziglar course. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you have to have at least the ability to communicate and communicate in a manner that can be received. And when you do that, you take viability and you combine that with discernibility. And that discernibility has to have a touch of discernment attached to it, meaning wisdom. In other words, when you look at the issues, you don't go off and chase rabbits. You focus your campaign, you have a platform, and you run that platform. Find the things that people around you care about, that you care about, and attack those issues, and don't get led off onto wild goose chases. Find someone who is viable and discernible. And number three, I said, find somebody who's likable. That sounds like common sense, but you'd be amazed. What you don't want to have is the person who's going to get up there and yell at people from the campaign stump. You don't want to find the person who's going to yell, get off my grass, every time somebody walks down their lane. You don't need to respond to everything somebody says negatively about you on social media, because they will. So find someone who can be likable. And I'll be honest with you right now, you watch the Mo Brooks and Katie Britt campaign. Katie Britt does not have the name ID. She does not have the Trump endorsement. But what Katie Britt has got is she's running an extremely likable campaign. She's doing what we call retail politics in a big way. Retail politics means you're out there shaking hands, kissing babies, seeing people, and letting them know who you are as a person. And right now, out of all the campaigns I've seen in the state, the one who is running a true retail politics campaign is Katie Brett. And she's doing it because she's a likable candidate. Now, is she viable? Apparently, she's got some resources. Is she discernible? Well, she's got a platform, and I think she's got some things she still has to explain some more, but she's able to work her issues. The last one I'll get to, I'm not talking about Katie Britt anymore, I'm off of that. The last thing I'll get to, though, is principled. What kind of principles, what kind of position statements do you want to hear from a candidate? What I don't want to hear from someone is, oh, I don't care who runs. I just want somebody besides the one who's there now. Well, what good is that? You might get worse. Find someone who has principles. All right, we're going to move to a short break right now. When we come back from that, I got some things that I think your candidates that you're looking for office, you need to know how to ask them these questions. So we're going to break that down. What kind of candidate do you want? Not what you don't want. What kind of candidate do you want? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Here on this second part of the Triple Dipper of the day, what kind of candidate do you want? Those were great questions a while ago from, I think it was Bob and Paul that both called in. And how do you put together, a candidacy? Well, if it's a person of faith, well, that's you're getting that. It's part of the package. And then at the same time, in my discussion on one of the calls, I discussed the fact that you need to have the resources, you need to have the people surrounding them. So do not misunderstand the idea of having a team. I have never seen a solo candidate run without a team and be effective, ever, ever. You've got to have a team. And I'll be honest with you. When we ran our last campaign, Charlene will tell you, it was like a machine. We had people surrounding us. We had people that would show up and just say, what can I do? And you just put them to work, man. We had people that were willing to make phone calls, knock on doors, wear T-shirts, put up signs. And it was everywhere. And you cannot do without that. There is no way in the world that Charlene and I could have run a 4-county race and prevailed if we had not had a team. So I mentioned a minute ago, if I had to, off the top of my head, give you 4 criteria for putting together what kind of candidate you want, I would say somebody who's viable, somebody who's discernible, somebody who's likable, and somebody who's principled. Viable, I said, was, if I defined it, was they have a snowball's chance. You know, they're not just having a good idea, no money in the bank, and they're going to see what happens. The only way that would work is if you were the only two people in the race and the incumbent died. Then you're going to get it. But the truth be told, you got to have someone who's viable. Next one was discernible. Someone who can clearly be understood as to what they're trying to present, does it in a clear and cogent manner, and sticks to the issues and doesn't chase rabbits all the time. Number 3, someone who's likable. That's so important. You got to have someone who can do retail politics. You got to have someone who can shake hands, look like somebody. And I don't mean, you don't have to have a poster boy. You don't have to have someone who looks like she just walked off of, you know, some kind of studio set. Not at all. I mean, down in Montgomery, it's just normal looking people. Up in D.C., I mean, you got people with wrinkled shirts and press shirts. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, though, is they can stand up in a crowd and look like they care. And look like they can hold their own in a discussion. And we have all shapes and sizes in politics. But what I'm suggesting to you is find someone who is likable and comes across well. And then the last thing I said was principled. That, to me, is the most important of all. You've got to know that you've got a candidate that is going to pursue things and stand by their word on things that they said they would do. You know, when I ran in 2010 for the first time, never run for political office before in my life. I found out later on you don't always start with the state senate, but I just did. And when I chose not to run again for the 2018 election, I had a reporter down in Montgomery, Brian Lyman from the Montgomery Advertiser. He says, Senator, why aren't you running again? I said, well, Brian, everything I ran on in 2010 has been done, every single bit of it. Well, we did it. And what I'm not seeing right now is a whole lot of here's my platform, here's my plan, here's what I'll do. What I'm hearing is things like, I love Trump. Second Amendment's big. I like pro-life. I'm a Republican. Well, that's not enough. It's not enough. So the Alabama Policy Institute, where I'm affiliated, has been doing a great deal of work right now to combine, and I talked about this briefly the other day when I was broadcasting live from Atlanta, but has done a great deal of work right now to put together sort of a candidate pledge, trying to put out there what we hope that candidates will put their name on so that they can be held accountable later. These are the kind of things that I think that you should be looking at and asking for them to do. So what kind of candidate do you want? How about principles like, I will lower your taxes. And when I get down there, I'll find a way to do it. So far in this quadrennium, the legislature and the governor have combined to do nothing but raise your taxes. Gas tax being one of the most, you know, clear examples. They've raised your gas taxes, and it is paying at the pump right now. They did that even though the existing road and bridge fund that we already had in place before they raised your taxes, they weren't using it all for roads and bridges. They were using it to pay for the courts, for state troopers, for other things that don't even relate to roads and bridges. But they told you had to have more, and so they took more. They've raised your taxes, and they set it up, by the way, where it will run ad nauseum and continue to increase. What about this? We're one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries at all. At all. The poorest people among us have to pay taxes on their milk and bread. Why are we one of the only states that does that? I'll tell you why. Because a teachers union set it up to where those state sales tax dollars go to education. Well, how about this? Let's talk about education. I want a candidate who's going to go down there and say, I'm tired of being last in the nation. I'm going to be fighting for school choice. I'm not fighting to send any more money to a system that can't get its job done. Because we have raised the amount of money we spend on education every year for the last decade. Never once have you heard the word proration in any of our budgets in the last decade. But yet, where did we do? What did we do? We went further down the pike. We're now number 50 in the nation. It's not about money. It's got to be about the way we do things. I want a candidate who says they will go fight for school choice and allow there to be an opportunity for parents to have more of a say in the education of their child. What about this? I want someone who's going to put limited government principles in place. What does that mean? Well, here's an example. How about reducing the obstacles that government puts on businesses with overburdensome licenses? Yeah. What about things like the state health officer, who no one realized had near as much strength as he apparently does? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I want a candidate who's viable, discernible, likable, and has principles that they say that they'll stand on when they get down there. And they'll do it. That's what you need in a candidate. All right, folks, we're coming back right after this break. It's Copper's Corner coming up next. One of my favorite times of every single week. We had to delay it a couple of days while Copper had to do some stuff, and she's here with it now. We'll be right back.